this out. Romans chapter 13. See if us two big mouths can share the mic here.
Oh, I'm sure we can. I'm sure we can.
You don't need a mic.
Amen.
All right. Excuse my coughing. Mine is more of just allergies when I get out my working up, okay? So I can go for a long time without even coughing. Then it seems like I get something, and it's, once I get going, it's like, ugh. So like I said, Romans chapter 13. Okay, so of subjection of magistrates, and love containeth the whole law. So this is basically a prelude of what's going on. Here he's talking about basically how we should live our lives. He's talking to the Roman people, and they had certain customs and mannerisms that they did that didn't quite fit with the lining up of Jesus Christ, things like that. So Paul's writing to them, trying to explain to them how, yes.
Okay, it's Paul, correct?
Yes.
Now, is it the Roman Christian church that he's dealing with?
It would have been before it was considered the Roman Christian church, as far
is
as what
it,
you're...
Well, okay, then next question is, was it Jewish in Rome?
No, this would have been Gentiles. Yeah. Paul was the... to the Gentiles. This would have been the prelude to basically what becomes the Roman Catholic Church. Okay?
Thank you.
But this is before. Now, here's the one thing you have to remember. A lot of corruption didn't happen that we consider happening. And I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. So if you like Catholics, I'm not trying to make, but a lot of accusations go towards the Catholics of being corrupt, things like that, okay? So before any of that really took place, it wasn't until Paul and Peter and all them began to get off of the playing field and pass away that the corruption started sneaking into the church and things started changing, okay? Mainly what he's dealing with now is their Gentile nature. They like to... let's say with the kids here, have odd parties with a bunch of people. If everybody knows what I mean.
And could it also be one of the biggest in the world?
Yeah.
Bingo!
Yeah. So, you know, they had a lot of different beliefs this and everything like that because of the Romans, things like that. A lot of crazy things going on. Okay, so here he is trying to address. Do you have any?
Nope.
Okay. So, let every soul be subject unto the higher power, for there is no power but of God. The power that be are ordained of God. Now, he's talking about both the power of God, and he's talking about those of authority. Remember, the Romans, there was special benefits of being a Roman, things like that, but this was a time period where the people, kind of like here in America, were kind of getting tired of their politicians. Okay? And there was a lot of uprisings, things like that going on. This was a time period where Rome actually kind of had a hard time maintaining a lot of what they did.
So, if we break this first scripture down, it says, let every soul be subject. So that's telling us that everyone should obey unto the higher powers. Now, I'm going to go both directions with this because I see this in two different ways, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to go with Pastor's way, and I'm also going to tell you that this has a lot to do with your church leadership as well. Okay? And that's something I wanted to point out. But as far as the verse, all right, so we're to obey the higher powers. Why are we to obey the higher powers? Because it is God that assigns those higher powers.
Right.
It's God that puts up, as it says in the Old Testament, it's God that sets up the good kings. It's God that sets up the bad kings. It all works and flows for the plan of God to take place.
Kind of like today, you know, you got a lot of people that like Trump, you got a lot of people who hate Trump. Back when Obama was in, you had people that liked Obama, you had people that hated Obama. One side wants to blame, you know what I'm saying? That's the type of stuff that was going in on that time. And Paul's trying to tell them, don't worry about all that. Okay? We have to love everybody. All right? We don't have to agree with what they're doing or anything like that. But if we start off hating our authority figures, what he's saying is that makes us look foolish then, because God is our authority figure. And God has ordained this, and it's a part of his plan.
Right. It's absolutely, you know, I think that's something that people, I don't know if I want to use the words misinterpret or whatever, but they don't look at it as God's plan when they see stuff going on in the world.
No, we look at it, and even what happens is first thing we want to do is start saying he's either of the devil or he's not. I mean, any man or woman or child that's not following God is of the devil.
Right.
Okay? If you're not for Christ, you're against Christ.
And the second verse is actually going to deal with that. Because it says, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance, or a better word that we could use there, they resist the assigning of what God is assigned, and they resist, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. It's because those that aren't following the order that God has set forth, they're resisting God.
Yeah.
It goes back to that whole, you know, if they slap you on the left cheek, give them the right cheek. You know, it's not agreeing with the world, but it's not picking a fight with them either.
Right. Yeah, you know, you got to let God do his plan, okay? Even the devil, in his plan of what he's trying to do, it's all a part of God's plan that his grace will be shown, and his grace will be efficient, okay? It's all leading up to the higher plan. So no matter what the devil thinks he's getting by with, he's really not. Because inevitably, it is to better God's kingdom.
Didn't Paul and Peter also, in coming to Rome, first off, had to deal with the Roman people about gods?
Yes. Yes. And there's some of the things, you know, the Romans. Basically, to the Romans, they had their gods, but basically, you could pray to any god you wanted in Rome. Okay, that's why they really didn't have a problem with the Hebrew people. They didn't care what God they prayed to, as long as they paid their taxes and obeyed them.
Right.
It's kind of like what we find our state in to some degree in this country right now. You know, we call it freedom of religion, but it's freedom of religion as long as you pay your money in, you know.
Yeah.
They'll let you do whatever you want as long as you keep paying your money in. And that's kind of how the Roman Empire was at that time. They really didn't care what you was doing, to some extent, as long as you kept paying money, yeah.
Wasn't there a big problem with, I'm sure the statement was said quite often in Rome, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and render unto God what is God's. And in the Roman people and the Roman faith, they definitely made sure Caesar was taken care of.
Yeah. Well, Jesus said that in his earlier scriptures.
Actually, Paul actually gets into that in this. These words that we're going to come across down here, right? I'm just going to give you guys some definitions here. We're going to come across the word tribute. If you look up tribute, that is a tax. So here in a little bit, it's going to say pay tribute to whom tribute is due. It's going to tell you that pay tax to whom tax is due. It's going to tell you to pay your due to who they're due to. It's the sum of money owed, right? And then it says honor. And that honor in this particular, in these particular passages, is money paid out.
Yeah.
And then when it says custom, it is also as well talking about paying your money, paying to whom you are to pay, because we get down to the verse after all those, and it talks about owing no man.
Right. So it goes on, it goes, verse 3, for rules are not a terror to good works.
Right.
Okay? But to the evil wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. Okay? So, in other words, we don't give in to what they say just because we're afraid of them. We do it because God asks us, because he has the authority. You know, it's not about trying to do evil to us. The world's greedy. The world is sinful. Okay? There's the one thing we have this concept of everybody, I'm a relatively good person. The Bible says none of us are relatively a good person. We all have the potential of doing evil. Okay? And the only thing that sometimes keeps us from doing evil is the law.
Right.
Yeah. That's it.
That's, you know, it says, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same.
Yes.
It's literally telling you, don't render the evil for the evil.
Right.
Don't go out there just because they tell you to do something, don't go out and do it. You don't have to. There's a difference, and I believe there's a fine line between obedience and following blindly.
Yeah. It's like punishment. If you do punishment out of anger, did you really truly accomplish anything? There is a need for punishment, but when we do it out of anger,
it doesn't do anything.
All it does is make two wrongs. But when we do it after the mindset, it's kind of like they tell you to punish your child, but never to punish your child in anger. One of the biggest problems we've had is parents, and a lot of times, punish their children in anger, and they go too far.
Well, you know, if you look at, let's use an old TV show like Leave It to Beaver,
mm-hmm.
Right? I understand there was things in there that led to where we're at today, but if you pay attention to how they disciplined their kids, it was go to your room, and we'll talk about this in a little bit.
Yeah,
it was never a jump straight to the punishment.
I think that's what God's trying to do. We as Christians can't jump, if we don't like what somebody's doing, the higher powers or whatever, we can't jump straight to, well, they ought to just be all shot.
Right.
I understand we may feel that sometimes, but that's not the answer.
There's a proper way to deal with things. We've talked about this plenty of times. You know, you see the protesters today, okay? Let's use this. You see the protesters today, and you see how they're acting, the way they're protesting. I'll tell you, I don't agree with that. I don't agree with protesting the way that they protest. I'm going to tell you, if you want to protest, get on your knees to God and protest.
Yes.
Tell God how it is. Let God be the settler. You know, there's a verse that says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Matter of fact, I think it's back in chapter 12. They read it on Sunday.
Yes.
Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Mm-hmm. Vengeance isn't for us to take.
Yes.
We have got to learn as the church, that we have got to start actually turning the other cheek, yeah, not
verse
just 19, preaching.
Verse 19, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Mm-hmm. In chapter 12. Avenge not yourselves.
Avenge not yourselves. Vengeance isn't for us.
But that, in the day and time we live in, that tends to be very difficult, you know, because especially in this country, we're taught to protect ourselves. Taught to stand up for our rights. We're taught to not let anybody belittle us, things like that. But
And I think that's why I say, you know, we as the church have to start learning to practice what we preach. And you know what? If that means that one day we have to meet in a house without them knowing about it, then that's what we'll have to do.
Right. Verse 4. For he, anybody from here have anything before we move on? Okay. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God in revenge to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. See, he's talking about those in higher power. Even though we may think they're evil, they're still part of God's plan. And they're there to do good and both evil to make up God's plan. What's that type of government?
It's a monarchy.
Monarchy. When people were in a monarchy, it was very common thought that if you was born into the monarchy, you was born there because God put you there. And that was way even beyond Christianity, okay? Now, we even know that even though those people were born into the monarchy, they always wasn't the brightest, was it? History shows there was many a king and stuff like that that weren't the brightest people in the world. But people felt that because they was there. So this is kind of stating that whoever is in leadership, it's part of God's plan, okay? So we just have to take the good kings with the bad kings, make the best of it, and never allow them to take away our right. We live in a country that says we have the right for this, this, and that. There's only one right that you have, saints. God-given right. And that's to praise and worship him.
That's right.
That's the only God-given right you truly have, okay? The rest is, yes, it is determined by mankind. And there are how we possess our society, things like that. Absolutely. You don't even have the right to live tomorrow. You don't have the right to live right now. You live because God says you live. He says, I give mercy on who I give mercy. I give grace on who I give grace. So the only right that you have, a God-given right, is to serve God. Does that make sense? That's really the only true right you have. Wherefore we must need be subject not only for wrath, but also for continence's sake.
So not only, okay, not only do you need to obey because you don't want to, it's not just because of the wrath of God.
Right,
or the wrath of man. You need to obey because it's your conscience. It's your soul.
Yeah.
It's your soul. You know, we always talk about this salvation. Take your salvation for yourself, right? Salvation is your, that's you. We can lead you to the water, but we can't make you drink. Type deal. Don't just obey because you're afraid of the wrath that they're going to pass down on you.
Right.
But obey because it's your soul. Obey because God said so.
Right. And it is, we do live in a day and age where we tend to think that it's very difficult to trust our leadership. Okay? We'll take pastors, for instance. Pastors are just human beings and they are subject to mistakes. And they are subject to lust. They are subject to giving in. And we know in the 70s and 80s that there was a lot of TV evangelists and a lot of big-time preachers that got caught up in their own lust and desires, right?
Right.
Billy Graham's one. Who was the other one? Jimmy Swagger.
A whole bunch.
Jimmy Baker.
Who did I say? That he didn't.
Graham.
That's my apologies. He never did he?
Graham.
My apologies for that one. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, and it made it because a lot of those guys were all about the money. So now in this day and time, it makes it hard for a pastor just to take up a nice offering. Because I hear this at work all the time. Oh, you're just about the offering. Oh, it's about the offering. Yeah, I shouldn't have to give my tithes. I shouldn't have to do this.
Yeah, it is exactly like that. You know, when I contribute part of the way people view that. Mm-hmm. Not just to those TV evangelists that did absolutely wrong, but the way the church in itself has presented paying tithes.
Yes.
They have presented it and beat people up with it instead of presenting it in a way that says, hey, you know, this is how we further the ministry. This is how we take God's kingdom and share it with others.
Right, because next scripture it's going to talk about tribute, and I understand why they did certain things. That's the way I have always tried to do mine before I try to change things. I try to understand why they did something.
Right.
And I do understand why in the past. And it's like some churches, you may see them actually tell people how much they're supposed to give. You know, in the organization PAW, I've seen that a lot.
Right.
Well, at first it was easy for, like in this first set of scriptures, to judge that. And, right. Oh, them people are this and them people right. are that. It was real easy. Well, then once somebody started explaining it to me, it right. was within their culture to do that. But I didn't know that. So what did I do, being a young man? I instantly, or any of us, we instantly
right.
see the bad and we start accusing. But once I found out, and that's what a lot of what he's talking about. Yeah, that's what he's talking about. You better understand your facts. Yeah. It's kind of like the media today. Everybody's saying, blaming everybody for fake news. We don't know who to trust anymore, do we?
You know, and I think that's really part of it, is to break up the trust.
Yes.
Because when you lose trust in your leadership, what happens? You have rebellion.
The body starts to die.
Yeah, the body starts to die.
Yes, the quickest way to kill the body is not to cut off the toe. The quickest way to kill the body is not to chop off the arm.
Yeah.
It's to sever the head.
Sever the head.
And in reality, to sever the neck. That's why the devil is attacking so many wives.
Right.
Because the wife is the neck of the husband.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you really look at it, and you can use the animal kingdom for this, right? When the male lion is getting ready to attack or is being attacked, where does the female lion go? Right down in front of his neck.
So this way, to savor the head.
To savor the head.
The trust. We look at the head. Head of the household, head of the church, head of the United States, head of this, head of that. If we can destroy the head.
You can destroy the head, you can destroy the body.
And like I said, a lot of times the devil will attack the pastor's wife because she's there supporting him, helping him. She's like the neck. And that's why the devil will go after a pastor's wife. Because if he can kill her, he knows it's probably going to destroy him.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're on
six.
For this cause, pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. So, yeah. There was that word tribute. Remember, yeah. I said that word tribute is a tax. Okay, so basically what he's getting into is that whole thing of, if they ask you for your money, you give them what they're asking of you.
Yes, and you know, I understand there's a lot of taxes out there that I do not think is fair, is right, right. You know. But what God's saying is put your trust in Him.
It's all about where is your trust, right? So... Let's use tithing. Let's talk about it for a minute. Mm-hmm. It's the one thing everybody does seem to cringe over.
Yes, it is.
So you pay tithing not because you want to be blessed, but because you have been blessed. And you want to see the kingdom of God furthered along. Well, how much should you pay in tithing? Well, we know that is 10%.
Yes, that was first given out by Abraham. And the reason Abraham, and this is what I always go back to, the reason why Abraham gave, he gave because he honored God. because the other five kings were trying to come up and make it sound like they was going to make him rich. Okay? But he did. He gave that, he sacrificed that 10% to God, gave it to him, because that was just a portion. I've never really truly found anything on the exact why 10%, but right. That was just what Abraham chose. It was a percentage of it. And he didn't do it because he was going to get blessed by God. And brother, I'm not saying what you're wrong because he was already blessed. But my feeling is it had nothing to do with his blessings. It had to do with he honored God he knew where his life came from.
Right. And that's what I mean by blessed.
Right.
Right? Because he understood where it came from.
Yeah.
Just like when we look at our material things, we have to understand where they come from. Now, we have to give to the government what the government asked for. You know what? We're supposed to. Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's. And anybody that wants to argue that with me, I'll show them the scripture. Because there are plenty of people that will say, well, Jesus didn't like the government. You're right. He may not have approved of the government, but you know what? He never fought against them.
Right.
Even when they were crucifying him, he never fought against them.
Yeah, because Jesus knew, and he tried to make that statement, no matter what form of government you have, okay, you can think of any form of government and maybe better you think. All forms of government have the ability of corruption. Some is a little bit easier than others. Okay? That's why when the Israelite people were hollering, give us a king, give us a king, give us a king, during the days of judgment, God said, you don't want a king. A king will take your cattle. A king will take your oxen. A king will take your sons. A king will take your daughter. And he'll give you nothing in return. So saints, what we got to recognize is governments aren't here to bless you. God's here to bless you.
It's God where it all comes from.
Yeah.
So giving back is not, you know, everybody acts like it's some big, huge, oh, we can't do that. But no, giving back is what we were supposed to do.
Right. Like I said, there is some taxes that I see and I really truly don't agree with. It's how in the world did anybody come up with that craziness in the first place?
I can think of one right off the top of my head. The will tax.
Yeah.
I don't understand the will tax, but when I go to the DMV, I don't sit there and say, I'm not paying that will tax. I'm not paying that one.
They'll say, sure you're not.
Yeah.
Thanks. You're not getting your plates either.
You're not getting your plates. You just... Yeah, you just say, okay, if that's what I have to do.
The inheritance tax.
The inheritance tax.
How can you tax money that's already been taxed just because you pass it from one person to another?
So it gets taxed again.
Yes.
Right. So you have to do these things, right? But all of this is obeying what God has set forth for you to obey.
What I don't understand is how there can be so much complaining about the 10%. God made us in his own image, and we decide we complain about it, okay? So why not God change the rules and say, okay, fine. You keep the 10%, and I'll live on the 90%. I thought it was more than fair. And yet, to this day, people have a problem with being obedient.
Well, see, and here's another reason why people have such a hard time, because corruption.
Yeah.
After Abraham did it and he made his nation and everything, he told them to bring their tithing in and to put it in the storehouses. That was because every 7 years there was going to be famine. Okay? There's going to be drought. So God said, store up my storehouses, that way I can feed my people. There was reasons.
And the seventh year was the year of Jubilee. Yeah. They weren't supposed to touch the land.
Right.
So they were covered.
Yeah.
And that was the reason. That was the reason why God took what Abraham had given him. Unfortunately, yes, in this day and time, there is great corruption. You see these pastors living in mansions. I have me a nice truck, but I can assure you it is not because of what I make here. It's because I have a job, okay, and I make good money.
Yeah, Mayor.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? You know, I've had people think that, man, your church must make good money. I don't get a dime for what I do here.
We know that.
But you know what most people don't. And so I have a nice new truck, and I've had people say, well, you guys must be making all kinds of money down there. No, we're not.
And see,
but unfortunately, that's happened in the past. You've got these pastors living in big mansions.
And that's what I was talking about. Because of the abuse upon which tithing was used in the past, in the recent past. You have people now that are like, I can't give. I just can't give. Why can't you give? Because all they're going to do is put it in their pocket anyway.
Well, you have some that are preaching that it's not biblical now because it's not really mentioned in the New Testament.
Well,
but how do you,
kind of is.
But how do you own up to it when you've got people who are properly managing their money to be able to reach around the world? Now, I would not do this. I couldn't live with myself. But some of them have Lear jets.
Yeah.
Right.
Some of them, their buildings are paid for because they knew how to manage it.
Right.
And God turned around and blessed them with even more. And as soon as you find that you're trustworthy and obedient, God's going to heap it on.
Now, here's the difference, though. I say that about some pastors living in mansions, but that doesn't mean that God hasn't blessed them either.
Right.
But most people, they're not going to dig into and find the answers. They're just going to judge it very quickly.
That is the society that we live in.
Yeah. They're just instantly going to see something they don't like, so it's got to be wrong.
Yep.
Because we know that he made Abraham rich. We know that he gave money to Jacob and all them. We know that he made a lot of people in Israel very wealthy. Okay? God said, you stick with me, Job. We know. So we know God can make people wealthy. The difference is sometimes how they're using their wealth to help other people. It's not that a pastor can't be wealthy or a person in the church. So don't judge that either too quickly. It is, though, one thing that I've seen that I don't understand is when a church talks about having $1 million in saving bonds. And a lot of their congregations going hungry. That I question. You know, to me.
Because at that point, you should be.
You should make sure you're really.
Your congregation is fed.
But a lot of them do, so I can't really judge that. I just,
right.
For me personally, I hear that just because of my state, and I start thinking, oh man. But like I said, we can't judge that quickly because we don't truly know what they're doing. That's my point, what I'm trying to get out. We can't judge very quickly, saying to God, okay?
Right.
Know the truth before you move,
before you move
make judgments. What was that?
Verse 7, render therefore to all their dues. Once again, dues, we're talking about money. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and read verse 8. It says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law. He's telling us not to owe our brothers and sisters and people.
I want to go a little further than that, not really just in money, but in anger. I owe, you know, you ever heard somebody say, I owe you money?
Yeah,
in anger, you know, because
I'm going to get you. Yeah, I'll get even. I owe you.
It's like us saying, whether we like the president or not, oh, I'm going to get that man.
Yeah.
He's going to find his judgment.
Yep.
Or anybody like that.
That's,
you know, it says to love our enemy. I understand that is one of the most difficult things to do. Is to truly love somebody that has truly hurt you. And I know there's some pains out there that goes past my understanding. Okay? But the Bible says he does that for your sake. Not necessarily, it is for the other person's sake, but we're concentrating on us as individuals. It's for your sake, because that anger destroys you. And that's what God's concerned about. You see what I'm saying? I understand there is some awful, you know, as a pastor, we've talked about this. You know, we say, I told him the other day, I said, you know, I know sin is sin. And everybody will get their punishment. But I said, some of these people, and I mentioned certain things that were just god-awful going on. Like this virus, they was talking about people setting this virus out on people. You know, a lot of things going on around here talk about. And I said, you know, there has to be a special place in hell for people like this. I kind of probably spoke a little too soon. I really wasn't thinking about it. But, you know, sometimes we think that, don't we? But that's what God's trying to tell us not to do.
Yeah, he says, oh no man nothing but love. But love. That's, you know.
So if you forgive that person, but you can't forget, is that still wrong?
I think eventually, not forgetting, it's kind of like my situation of my first ex-wife, okay? She cheated on me. For a long time, I had great hatred, and every time I seen her, I remembered all of that stuff. Well, I can honestly say now I have forgiven her, and my thoughts on that, every now and then it tries to sneak by, but my thoughts aren't the same way, or they don't have the same meaning to me now as what they did then. Does that make sense? It's a different way now, and I don't think about it as much. When I see her, I don't see the pain that she caused me. I see someone now in need, someone that I need to be praying for.
I don't think about it until somebody brings it up.
Yeah.
And then so, I start thinking about it again.
And so part of the recovery process to that, when the Bible says to pray for your enemy, the whole point in praying for your enemy is because it softens your heart to the situation, which therefore eventually leads to that, okay, I can see this individual and not have the pain that I once had. Because it's not overnight.
Yeah. But I believe God can take the evil memories, bad memories away.
Right. So do I.
He will relieve them.
And that's what I believe
And there will be true forgiveness. It's not that you're not forgiving, but right now it's still a work in progress because the pain's still there. But through prayer and praying for your enemy or whoever's done you wrong, eventually those memories, I'm not saying you'll forget the individual, but I'm because I think I know what you're talking about.
The pain will ease.
Yes.
The pain of hate eventually becomes the need of compassion.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I've been through it. And at first, I hated it. And I said, this is not right to forgive and forget. But in a due process, the forgiveness turns into the forgetfulness.
Yes.
Right. It's not that you ever
no longer await.
It's not that you ever truly forget the situation. You forget the pain that the situation caused you.
Right.
Yep.
Because see, the Bible tells us to be wise. And I believe that when you're wise, you won't go through the same mistake that you went through before. You won't allow the same thing to happen that caused you all the pain before.
Right. Because see, my situation was so bad, that day that I found out, I didn't need a gun. I was going to kill him with my bare hands. That's how much anger was in me. That's how much hate I had in me. And I was a little guy, but I had so much anger in me. The only reason I got stopped was because the church was having a thing down here, and I had to bring Bill down here and give him to my mom, and I handed him to mom, and I said, he dies tonight. And it's not something I'm proud of, but I mean, it took like six people to stop me. So I do know hurt. I do know anger. But now when I look at the whole situation, it's a whole different situation. Now, she's still a mess, but I pray for her and I feel sorry for her. And I pray for her all the time, you know. Yeah, like you said, it's different now.
It's different. The memory's still there. See, that's what we get confused about when somebody says, "Oh, you didn't forget, you didn't forget." The memory will still be there. The pain is what's gone.
Yeah.
Because you can't truly ever forget.
Right. If you've forgiven, you will be able to look at that individual and not hurt like you used to hurt.
Right.
Okay? And like I said, so if you are working through a situation and you haven't fully come to that, don't bombard yourself or hurt yourself or get angry at yourself. Keep working on it, okay? Some pains, I do believe, are harder than others.
It's not overnight.
Yeah.
It's never overnight. I don't care who tells you what. Everything that we go through, PTSD is real. Post-traumatic stress disorder is real. And it is not just from a battlefield.
Right.
It is from your everyday life.
Yes.
And things that happen to you. And it takes time to recover from some things.
Yes.
It takes longer to recover from others. It's not always instantaneous like we want, like people want other people to believe. Oh, well, I prayed and God just completely, you know, God can do that. I'm not saying God can't. But what I'm saying is for most people, it takes time to get over certain things.
He has to heal them.
He has to heal them. That's that old saying, time heals all wounds.
Yes. And that's our point is, through prayer, through sacrifice, through God, these things can eventually tender our hearts to where even the person that has done us the most evil, we can do good to them.
Yes, absolutely. For this, verse 9, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen to verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So, let's put this into the perspective of Christ didn't come to abolish the law.
Right.
He came to fulfill the law. How did he fulfill the law?
By love.
By love.
Forgiveness.
Love and forgiveness.
Yes. Jesus even forgave the men that hung him on the cross. He forgave the people that spat on him. He forgave the people that beat on him. He forgave even the people that betrayed him and ran away. He had a lot of followers that ran away. Not just the 12. You know, we talk about the 12 a lot of times. He had a lot more followers that ran away. And you know what was even worse? Some of those followers that probably felt that they was right there with Jesus was some of them that was, in the end, spitting on him and stuff.
Right.
Judas, look at Judas. He said, "Is one of you a devil, but yet I've chosen you?"
Yep. Which goes to show that everything is set up
for God's plan. Yes. There evil has to happen, saints, because we have to grow as individuals. I believe that. We were made the perfect being, but then when we was cast out of the garden because of our fall, we was no longer perfect, and we have to get back to perfection. We are an emotional being that has knowledge without wisdom. The most dangerous thing in the world is knowledge without wisdom. Knowledge without wisdom creates a nuclear bomb.
Yep.
Okay?
Pretty much.
Knowledge without wisdom is to create something just for the science of it. There's no wisdom there, is there?
No wisdom.
To say, you know, if I do that and that, that could be very bad. No, thank you. Don't care about the science. That's wisdom. We have to look at the same way. Hey, you know what? You done me wrong, but I forgive you. I want to see you in the kingdom of heaven. Because I'll tell you what, once we get into heaven, we will forget about our pains. You think maybe you can't forget about it on this earth? If you make it to heaven, you will forget about them pains. Right. Okay?
They'll all be gone.
They'll be all null and void.
I really like verse 11.
Yes.
And that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. See, what he's telling you is, although all this corrupt stuff's going on and you have to go ahead and obey and you have to go ahead and follow the laws of the land, and I don't care what preacher tells you that this scripture, that this set of scriptures has nothing to do with your government that's appointed over you, I'm telling you that this has everything to do with the government appointed over you. Okay? It has to do with with anywhere you fall underneath whatever leadership you fall. Okay? But it says it is high time to awaken out of the sleep. Why is it high time to awaken out of the sleep? The sleep of the world, because your salvation is at hand. Now is the time to understand your salvation.
Yes.
Now's the time to move forward with your salvation.
Get yourself set free through Jesus Christ. You know, we're all in a lot of pain. We're all in a lot of torment sometimes, aren't we? But you know what? Christ can set us free from all that. He can set us free.
You know, I did. I heard somebody preach this exact, this chapter, and they said that this had nothing to do with your government. Well, I'm sorry to rain on their parade. This has everything to do with obeying your government.
Yes.
Because if you don't obey your government, then you are not obeying the laws of the land, which therefore makes you a sinner. Because most of the laws of the land you can find right up here in this verse number 9.
Well, that's why it tells us if they want your shirt, give them your jacket too. It says if anybody sues you over a situation, if they want it, give it to them. Let God, everything that we do, we have to send God forward and say, God, I have no idea what to do at this moment in time. It is in your hands. Your will be done without wavering. There sometimes is the trick
to
go forth in faith without wavering.
Right. But, you know, if your government tells you, the only time I will say that it's okay to go against what your government tells you you have to do is when it comes to your salvation.
Yes.
And I believe that's what he's talking about at the end of verse 11. Is when it comes to your salvation, you make sure that your salvation is in order. So,
and that'll be not them telling you you can't pray in public, because the Bible clearly tells you to go into your closet and pray.
Right.
So it's not about them denying you the right to pray in public. It's not about them denying you the right to pray in school or any of that. Because I'll tell you what, you can do it silently. You can do it without everybody knowing it.
Right.
And Jesus says, those that do it in silence and in secret, he will reward them openly.
Right.
In other words, it ain't about us making some kind of big deal that we're children of the Most High God. It's about just letting people see our humbleness and mercy, and every chance that we get, talk to them about the Lord.
Absolutely.
Talk to them about the Lord. They can take all of our rights away if they want, saints, and we can go into our houses and hide and this and that. But when it comes down to them saying, deny God or die, that's what it's talking about, then you say, no, you cannot force me to do that. I will not deny God. I will have to die.
Right. That is the only time when it comes down to your salvation. You know, like I said earlier, if it comes to the point in time where we have to, you know, disband from meeting inside these four walls and start meeting in a house unknowingly.
The church did it.
Then that's how you do it. It's not, you're not going against their law because you're not gathered in a church building. It's all about how we approach the situation. Don't rub it in their face. I believe God's telling us that in this whole
chapter. Paul never did. I mean, Paul, don't get me wrong. Paul, whenever Paul was faced with it, he never denied it. He was open about it.
Right.
He said, hey, look.
But he didn't flaunt it.
No, he didn't flaunt it. But he said, look, I can't do that. That's against my God. I can't do that.
Right.
I won't do that. I'll go to jail. I'll die. Whatever you say. You tell me to not preach the gospel. I can't do that. Can't do that. Sorry. Any opportunity I get. He did it when he was in jail.
Yeah. So when it tells you to obey, that's why. That's what it's taught. Go ahead and obey it.
Yeah. Because you know hopefully, if you do get in a situation, you can preach to those that are trying to tell you not to obey. Because even they have a chance for salvation.
Because everybody has the opportunity.
Yeah.
You don't know how God's going to use you.
Yeah. Paul and Silas, the doors come flying open. All the prisoners could have ran. None of them ran. Why didn't they run? Something was going on. The power of God. Put his hand down in there. Didn't let any of them run. And the jailer and all of his family out of that got saved. But what if Paul would have went in there fighting and kicking and stomping and beating up police and things like that?
Right.
Where would have been his testimony?
Well, what would it look like if Paul was sitting there telling his governor what he thought?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's that line of arrogance that you were talking about the other day. There's a line, and you got to stay on the side of obedience. You can't cross that line into the arrogant side and say, I am a child of God, and I'll do what I want. That don't work that way. You have to obey. God has set it forth.
Yes, you can stand firm and loving and say, look, I will not bow down to your gods.
Nope. Absolutely right. Absolutely right. Will not bow down.
I will not bow down. You can take all the taxes you want.
You know what?
If I don't have the money to pay them, you're going to put me in jail, and I'm just going to preach the gospel there.
You know, you tell me I can't preach the gospel and I'm out preaching it, I'm not going to fight you and tell you that I'm not going to go with you. Take me to jail. I'll preach the gospel on the way. We'll have a Bible conversation while you're putting me in handcuffs.
You know? Not Ananias. Died in front of Paul.
Died in front of Paul.
In Acts.
That was Ananias. There was two Ananiases.
Okay.
There was two Ananiases.
Okay. But he fell down on his knees when Paul and them was prosecuting him and everything.
Oh, Stefan.
Stefan, thank you.
Yeah, that was Stefan.
My mind.
Yeah.
Stefan, he could have fought back. He could have picked up rocks and thrown them back at him, but he didn't. And from that, Paul was saved.
And look what happened to the Gentiles. Yeah, look what Paul did.
That's what we're trying to say. Something good can come out of your humbleness of not.
Well, Paul kind of goes into that. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light.
Yes.
Let us walk honestly as in the day, because, you know, the day is the light.
Not in rioting.
Not in rioting. Drunkenness. Not in chambering and wantonness. Not in strife and envy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Don't make provisions. Don't
sit there and try to make plans behind their back. Well, we'll just show them.
Yeah. Don't. Well, we'll just rise up. We'll rise up. And we'll just take all this back. Now, that's not what it's telling you right there. What it's telling you is don't fulfill your desire, because everybody's going to have that desire. But instead, step out and say, you know what? If this is how you're going to do it, then this is how you're going to do it. I guess that I'm not going to deny my God. You're just going to have to kill me.
And that's the scary thing. Most people, I know I've heard people say, well, I won't have to worry about living for God. I'll just wait until they tell me to deny God, and I won't. And
if you ain't living for God, yeah, now,
that's
you ain't
be very difficult.
Yeah. If you don't have that Holy Ghost, because see, that's that Holy Ghost. Yes. You know how the Bible talks about in Revelations how the Holy Ghost has our soul sealed till the day of redemption. That's what that's talking about. Because it's not going to be our fleshly mouth that utters the words. Because there's another scripture that says that the devil can't utter that Christ is Lord, but those that are living by the Spirit can say that Christ is Lord.
Yeah.
Because in the end time, when we are down to the nitty gritty of it, it's going to be the Holy Ghost down inside us that says, nah, Christ is Lord, and I'm not denying that.
Right. Amen. All right, any questions? All right, next Wednesday, Romans chapter 14. All right? We'll go ahead and, if nobody else has anything or any questions. All right, let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, we come before you right now thanking you and praising you. Thanking you, dear Lord, for this Bible study. We hope, dear Lord, whatever we've said here is something of you that we ask that, dear Lord, it will grow in our hearts. But if there's anything that was said that was not of you, then let it pass from us, dear Lord Jesus, that it will move on and won't harm us. But dear Lord Jesus, now as we step into this world, we get ready to go back to our daily lives. Be with us, keep us, and strengthen us, dear Lord. Just let us rely on you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, have you guys heard of anything about a prayer?